Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Since opening in 2012, Hamilton's flagship gallery has been a home for art created by those who work from a broadly conceived Christian worldview. Its most recent exhibit, Axis, features photography and poetry by James Tugan, one of those involved with the startup of the gallery. He's on the phone with us tonight to give us some insight into this project. We'll talk to James in a few moments, but first let's listen to Dancing Thanks from Peter Ticklar's Gracious Windows CD. Now to our interview with James Tugan. Good evening, James.
Good evening.
Now, before we talk about the Access exhibit, let's give our listeners a chance to get to know you a bit. I think it's been a couple of years since we've talked on this program, so there could be some new people out there. You've been creating art for quite a while now. How did you get started?
I've been a visual artist since I've been a child, I guess. I've been working professionally for about 40 years. In the fine art world, as an illustrator with magazines all over North America. And for the last 10 or 12 years, I've been teaching.
Well, looking at that, I mean, you've done a lot of things. You do visual arts, you paint, you do photography, you also write poetry. Is there any one art form that you are drawn to more so than any of the others?
Well, you suggested that I'm a painter. Well, actually, I draw. my drawings look like paintings, but they're high realist drawings with chalk pastel, and that's probably what is my first commitment. My interest in poetry is really recent, and it grew out of the experience of some tragedy in my family with the loss of my son, and who died way too early. The experience of that led to wanting the need to write and to try to work through that. It became a kind of a therapeutic experience for me.
Well, when you look at some of the things that you've drawn and that, and what sort of inspires you in the type of works that you do?
My drawings look like realistic depictions of surfaces from Northern Ontario, or if you look at the Dreaming of Lions project, which some people out there may have seen. It's kind of an aerial view of a completely imaginary landscape in China. I tend to look at the world a little bit like a cartographer. I love maps, and that comes out of my experience canoeing and sailing. But I tend to be one of those people who likes to see how everything's connected. So my drawing tends to reflect an interest in surfaces and the metaphor and patterns. It tends to be really interested in surface and the play of light on surface. So that is what has driven most of my drawing all these years.
Well, and you mentioned too that you've done educating in that as well. And I think is neat in terms of being able to help sort of the next generations of artists that are coming up. What sort of led to you getting involved in teaching?
Well, it happened because when I started in fine art and I migrated into the world of doing fine art in the illustrative world, in the communication arts, I decided to leave that to do the Dreaming of Lions project, which was a 4.5-year project. And when that was over, I came back, and the illustration market, 80% of it vaporized literally in 1 year because of a certain industry condition where people were not buying original art, but were buying already previously created work that had been stored up in image bank and master file. And so at that moment, the work that I did, which is very time-consuming, didn't have a ready market. And I was invited by an artistic friend, Matt Cupido and Justin Cooper from Redeemer, to come and teach. And I got a baptism of fire in learning to become an educator. And I've discovered that I loved it. I had taught when I was younger in canoeing and swimming. But it was kind of brought back to it by circumstances in life. And once I got into it, I found that the process of encouraging young artists to discover their language and to take care of it was nothing less than exhilarating.
Well, looking at that, and as you say, you know, encouraging young artists to find their way, what sort of motivates you as a teacher to help these students find that way? Like, how do you help them find the way that they will eventually either discover that this is the calling, this is the path that they want to go on, or that this is something that they're going to do, but they may go in another direction in terms of vocation?
Well, that's actually an interesting question, because the major challenge, I think, of art educators today, and particularly Christian art educators, is persuading people who have real talent and who each think very differently visually, and they see differently, and they work differently, persuading them to believe that you can have a career that actually is survivable as an artist, and that there are many more careers than what people are aware of. You can actually make a living. There's an awful lot of pressures within our own community of faith to discourage that, and I think our job is to help people discover what their voice is, how God has designed them to see and to work in many different styles. I like to refer to them as different languages, and help them find an emotional fit with certain careers. Like, if you're going to be a graphic designer, you have a different way of thinking than if you're a fine artist, or if you're an art therapist, or an architect. I mean, there's at least 20 different careers where you can actually make a decent living in this country, the poorest of which, of course, is being a gallery fine artist. But the rest of them are all making a living. And a lot of people in school don't know much about it. And a lot of parents are kind of in the dark. And they discourage their kids sometimes because they think it's just a no-go in terms of being able to support a family and so on. And that's really not true. There's a lot of avenues open to young people. And I think our job is to help them find out who they are and get prepared for that.
Yeah, I think that's a whole other topic that we might want to explore some other time.
That would be great.
Yeah. Well, what I need to do is to take a quick break, and then we're going to continue our conversation with James Tugan, and we're going to talk specifically about the Access exhibit at the Flagship Gallery in Hamilton. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
I got a feeling, I got a pretty good hunch, from the floor to the ceiling, we're coming down to the crunch. Looks like we're dealing with another big bang drawing near. Well, this could be a complete disaster, or a perfect lover drowning all of your fear. I'm keeping it simple, I'm trying to keep it clean. These bodies are temples, yeah, where the day star can be seen. So don't want no muddy water or unnecessary dirt getting in between. Here's a little secret, if you're looking for a tip, you don't need a ticket to leave the sinking ship. Just need to let go now of the illusion you won't see. Stop listening to those voices that keep on telling you you need another drink. What you need is living water to set you free from fear. So you can see the rising day star in your own heart appear.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Daystar Temples from the More Like Lightning CD by Hamilton musician Peter Tiglar. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to continue our conversation with artist James Tugan. Well, right now you have an exhibit of your own work at the Access, at the Flagship Gallery called Access. Where did the idea for that project come from?
What I should mention to you first is that the term AXIS is spelled A-X-I-S, and it's an architectural term that refers to a reference line for a journey or measurement down the center of a structure, like a building or a map, or the rotation of the Earth, or an alignment between, you know, different political entities. And I got interested in this idea after visiting some close friends overseas. All of us who are Christian artists have become very interested in the impact of trauma on certain people, some of which we've witnessed and experienced, in the way that it can impact people and leave them damaged. And one of my friends works in Africa and has witnessed the downstream effect of European colonialism. Another person has been had to flee Egypt because of the change in the power structure there in radical Islamic activity. And we've discovered that it's everywhere, that institutions can crush people. So I decided to take some of the imagery that I shot in Europe and combine it with some new poetry and a small collection that sort of looks at how people can choose to respond to injury from this. And that led to, there was an opportunity that came up in the gallery when we didn't have another exhibitor to put some of this work together, and it led to this exhibit that's up now. in the gallery.
Mm-hmm. Now, what led you to choose photography in this case as opposed to some of the drawing that you've done before? Because I'm going to take a guess based on some other artists that I know. A lot of times there are artists are taking pictures that they use as reference material for art that they're going to create later on. What sort of led you to actually use the photo?
I've been shooting, you know, for a long, long time. I use that information to work from, you know, sort of resource information for putting drawings together. I gave up copying photographs, you know, 30, 40 years ago. It's just mindlessly boring. But you need that information because if you're a realist, for example, the works that you do take a long time to do, and since you're studying the behavior of light on surfaces, you need light information that doesn't change. So you do a lot of shooting, and I've done a lot of shooting in the wilderness up north in Ontario. I happen to have a thing for architecture as well. And I've just been doing it a long time, and it just so happened that there were some images from this trip to Europe 2 years ago that I'd been saving because they had a special sort of quality of the moment in them. And I decided to use them in this context. They're images or views of things that I would not personally spend the time drawing. It's really, in this case, the photography is meant to be more of a trigger for the poetry, which to me is what the show was really about.
Well, in terms of the poetry, and you mentioned that you did the picture, you took the pictures, and then the poetry came from that. How difficult or what were the challenges that you had as you were looking at the images for the wording to come? Like, how did that whole process work for you?
Well, I think I'm a little bit new at this, but my preliminary impression of why I write what I write is that I'm interested in the psychological experience of being a Christian, and that's also the focus, I think, ultimately, of my drawing. I tend to be interested in mental health issues and how we see under the surface and what makes up the way we see, what creates it. And in this case, the things I think I've found myself writing about are people's emotional or psychological experience of certain settings. So that tends to come kind of readily to mind. And I just start with something, and then I write what comes to mind, and then I spend time editing and trying to organize it so that it has a kind of a rhythm. And I try to pull in references that I know of from art history, from the scriptures. And inevitably, this show gets around to a particular idea of, if I can explain this briefly, then maybe that would help. I've written about, in this instance, of three possible choices that people have. One, in responding to trauma, is to be crushed by it, to abdicate their self, to completely lose themselves entirely, and to deny that it's even happened. And the second route being to overtly react to that, and completely take control and become a kind of bully, so that super controlling kind of person, so that nothing can ever touch you or hurt you again. And the third route, which comes along in the third leg of this little exhibit, is that for people who seek out therapeutic support and healing in healthy relationship, not only with people but with God, in which case they don't die and get crushed, and they get to see healing and justice done. That's kind of where my mind goes with that.
So in looking at that, is that the theme? Is that what you're hoping viewers who come in and both look at the images of the exhibit and read the poetry associated with it, that they're going to come away from the exhibit with?
I hope so. This is a bit of a, I've never done this before, where you put up something that is asking people to come in and take the time to read. I confess that when I go to some modern installations where I'm asked to read a great deal, I sometimes have trouble with that. Partly, I guess, because I'm kind of tied into visual language. But in this case, that is exactly what people are going to need to do. They're going to need to... The pieces are kind of written in order. They're not long. They're quite short, each piece. But they're going to need to spend a little time just reflecting and following through from the first pair of image and poetry through to the number 16. And the show's kind of organized around three visual metaphors of how people navigate through this. And the metaphors are nautical. There's a reference in some dividing banners in this show to three kinds of boats, one being a yacht that's covered in a shroud in a boatyard, and the second, a skiff that you row forward by looking backwards, which is what you do when you row, and the third being a canoe, which I've spent a lot of time in my life, which is a more forward-looking and, I think, gentle way of dealing with where you're going. Mm-hmm. So when people come into the gallery space, they're going to be presented with, it's a beautiful space, and the show's, I think, nicely organized, but it's going to take them a little time to come in and rest and think.
Well, looking at that, I'm just looking at my time. We need to take one final break and then wrap up our conversation with James Tugin. And when we come back, I just want to explore some of the things you just talked about. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Beneath the earth, above the sky, a heliotrope gold is on the rise. It's hard to see where it's coming from. For no eye has seen the better things to come. The healing river and this trickle of song can only be contained for so long. Yeah, an ocean kiss of tenderness is holding us together with a bond so strong. We're heading back to the willows where our hearts are hung, till the pulls of life are spilling off our tongue. High and low, rich and poor, far and wide, yeah, old and young. We'll be in it together in the bonds of strong. It can only be contained for so long. You tear a mama and I'll be daddy, don't say down. They got the love lamp burning, yeah, we're keeping it on. Uh-huh. Have you ever known such a melodious touch? Never too late, see where it's coming from, but then we've never really seen the better things to come. Hidden river raging in a trickle of song, holding us together as we don't sit down. In an ocean kiss of tenderness, we got the love lamp burning, yeah, we're keeping it on. Uh-huh.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Bond So Strong from Peter Tichlar's Better Things CD, which features cover art by tonight's guest, James Tugin. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with James. Looking at what you were just saying in terms of the exhibit and that itself, and this is the first time you've asked people to do a lot of reading as they're going through the exhibit. What does it mean for an artist like you to go completely into an area that you're comfortable with in terms of doing the poetry and that, but you've created an exhibit that might be different from what you've done before?
It's a little terrifying, to be perfectly honest. You think about things that mean a great deal to you. You have no idea how people are going to react. And in the end, you make a decision. I think... to create something and display something with as much quality as you possibly can, you make sure it's well designed. You try to, at least I try, to assume that my viewers are intelligent. Try to treat them with respect. And you just try to present that as professionally as possible, so that it assumes that your viewers are smart, and you know, you assume a high bar. I think that's how you have to approach your audience with respect. So in this case, I try to write like that. I make some assumptions about people understanding some of the references in the work, and you hope people join the dots. You really can't control things any more than that, mm-hmm. but you try to do that with. To me, that's what artistic integrity is about.
Right. Well, when and where is the Access exhibit taking place?
It's at the Flagship Gallery, which is at 237 James Street North in Hamilton, and which is right in the middle of our James Art Crawl district. And it's in the middle of a whole street of 19 galleries and other restaurants and studios. Our gallery is open from Wednesday to Saturday, noon to 5 p.m. every week. It opened with Crawl, which happens the second Friday night of every month. So our Crawl was last Friday night. The show will be up until the end of the first week of July, and then it comes down, and then a new show goes up.
Okay. And where can people find out more about your art in specific?
I have a website. They can go to our website for the gallery and see the work of the artists in the group. That's at www.semaphore.ca. And I have a website URL for which is jamestugan.blogspot.com. And I guess I should spell my name because it might not be obvious. It's James, T-U-G-H-A-N.
Great. James, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today and thinking of my guest, James Tugan. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at www.selawministries.ca. That's www.selawministries.ca. And be sure to tune again next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, a production of Selaw Ministries, email robert@selawministries.ca. Follow us on Twitter @Selaw13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook or check out the Arts Connection blog at rdaleleslie.wordpress.com. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.